think it depends on why you're playing games. Because some people are playing games actively for the game itself, right? Or they want to try a different logical solution setting or whatever, right? Like you're invested in the game for the game's sake. And there are some people that game as a way of being social. As a facilitator or a fidget spinner in social communications is the best way I can describe it. And like a lot of the cards, Magic the Gathering specifically, I just, in my brain, I was frustrated with it until I was like, oh, no, this is their fidget spinner. This is the only way they can actually social is to have something else going on at the same time that they have constructed rules that they all agree with. This is their social fidget spinner.
Gotcha. That does make sense, I guess.
Yeah. I'm a social gamer. I love playing games like Apples to Apples and Cards Against Humanity.
Those games drive me up a wall.
Yeah. They're social fidget spinner facilitator games.
They're too capricious, and I don't like them.
Oh, they absolutely are.
That's the whole point. That's why I love them.
Yeah.
I like even Apples to Apples. Like, as long as
we record this,
as long as we are,
recording.
Greetings, Apropos, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos Brothers podcast
with your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
But I'm sorry.
What were you saying, Salsa?
No, like when people use the Apples to Apples rule of everybody puts a card in blind. You know, and the person has to like choose based on what that is, purely based on the card. It's like, okay,
random luck stuff.
Yeah, well, it is purely a whatever card you have is that the person finds funny. That is what works. And some of my friends play a game where they put cards in and then they argue their case. And I hated that.
I'm not against arguing the case, but it's also not my style of thing.
Well, like, there would always be one or two people who were able to just be funny in a, you know, and make everybody laugh, and then they would get a point. And
I don't want to argue a case if a lawyer is at the table. Like if I'm playing she'll pull out books.
Yeah,
like, I don't need that.
It is no longer a game. It is about who can make the person laugh the most, and some people are going to be good at that, and then it's just like I'm just gonna play something.
But when you were talking earlier. May I go back to a thing real quick? When you were talking earlier about the blind pull, and how it's basically just luck of whatever happens to be there, is like, oh god, oh god, this is fucking Candyland all over again.
Yeah,
it's that whole like it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're not actively doing anything to engage with the game, and I do.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't generally play with blind pull, and like I don't know that I would get overly excited about it. I enjoy watching people's responses to stuff. Like if it was a blind pull and a judge was like, okay, I find this funny because of this, cool, but you may as well just be chucking whatever then, right? Like it's not a game so much as a conversation facilitator at that point.
And I want to play a game.
And
I want to talk to people.
I know. I like conversation facilitation games.
Yeah.
That is actively my jam.
Yeah,
I'm not as mad about it, but I do get your point that it just doesn't feel like a game at that point.
Yeah, Apples to Apples is not my game at all. Because either way, I'm just not happy with it. I need more structured rules in general. Yeah, if we're gonna have a game night, I want to play a game. A good game. If I'm gonna go to a party and we're going to talk, then by all means, let's talk. But if you call it a game night, I'm going to game. That's why I'm there. So anyway, I'm drinking.
Anyway.
So,
oh yeah, me too.
Make my house self happier.
Oh God. That's,
I have, which apparently according to Jenna fits my mood, but I have a Krabby cider.
Oh yeah.
Yep. And that is being held Aww. And keeping my hand from getting cold Aww. In a Duffman koozie.
Mm-hmm. A little cape really just sells it for me. It's so good.
I do like the little cape. Yeah. I am drinking Twisted Tea Original. Because it was in my fridge.
Fair. And also amazing. I, after recent adventures, I vied for blackberry sparkling water and a Coke Zero.
Oh,
I'm taking it easy.
Yeah.
You're being kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Did somebody go overboard last night?
Somebody went overboard today.
And today. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
You didn't stop.
No.
Ain't no party like a West Coast party.
I mean, quite legitimately. But
the party changed venues?
It did. And you know what they say about being brought to the second location, the survival rate goes down.
Yeah.
Significantly. Mm-hmm. That's.
Hey, everybody. Renfest is over.
Last day of summer camp.
So that means I only have two more shows to do. Just because Minnesota's over does not mean Casimir is over.
Mm-hmm. I have an entire other festival to make happen. I don't know what you're talking about, fucker. You just have to show up and shove things down your throat.
Yeah, because that's way easier.
So much. Well. Time commitment at this point.
that is true. I mean, that is true. I did a lot of front end work.
You did do a lot of front end
like
work.
That.
Yep.
Also, yes.
No.
That just got weird.
No, thank you.
We are done with the Minnesota Renaissance Festival now. It is over for another year. And I don't know if you can tell by the way we're talking, but we tired.
We're so tired. Shit.
We tired. It was a lot. Were any of you out on Friday?
I was not.
I could not be. I was doing a murder mystery show.
Yeah, I also could not do Friday. So just Saturday and Sunday, but that was enough.
Oh my God, it was.
Unseasonably hot because fuck climate change. Mid-80s both days in fucking end of September. Bullshit. And yeah.
I am like, this is a bit much. Could we maybe take it down? Just
Under
nature. This isn't right.
But yeah, we did our stuff. We, did Saturday shows. They were great. We did our Sunday shows and then we did Final Fire.
Yeah.
All the fire. And it was real good. I love doing that final show.
It's really so good.
Going out with a literal bang.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
But
I was not at Final Fire. I used to be involved with it, and then due to like restructuring and stuff, I wasn't. There's a part of me that's still just a tiny bit bitter about all of that.
Sure,
and how it went down. But so like I used to help out in other ways, right? With like the wings to help part the ways or to help whatever. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every way that I had been helping with that, I had just been kind of edged out more and more and more. Somebody would be like, oh, that is a thing that needs doing. I see what Jen is doing. I'm going to do that now. And I'm like, son of a bitch, just let me have a thing. Can you just let me have a thing? So, yeah. The past couple of years, I haven't even gone. And it's not that I don't want to support my friends, but I'm cranky and bitter about feeling pushed out of it. So I just don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, are you technically still entertainment or are you games?
Nope,
I'm games now.
Okay.
But I was getting pushed out of it.
Oh yeah. No. I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm just curious if where you're even classified technically.
Technically under games.
Okay.
It's we are such a weird fucking offshoot of games, though.
I know. Like, yeah. Does that mean
we're like games Plus or games independent games. I don't. It's like an independent booth game. So we're an independent, but we're also a game.
Is James Entertainment?
Yes.
James is both.
Okay.
I am both.
He both. Yeah. Okay.
I have I have two passports. That's the
okay.
Yeah.
You have
I assume your actual pass is entertainment though.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but James has dual citizenship, so
I do. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I just wasn't sure where that.
Yeah.
Because fencing booth is legitimately
the active fencing booth is one part game, one part entertainment.
Yeah.
It's a 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, some days we are more entertainment and many other times we are more game. But it is basically just a split of both.
Yep.
So
yeah.
But yeah, so we did the thing. So for one of the blasts, it was me and Aluma, the littlest dragon. And we were doing a fire stunt known as blowing a kiss. And we watched the video afterwards, and my kiss, for me standing in the middle of the bear stage, my kiss reached all the way to the edge of the bear.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Yeah, yep. I got some serious fucking distance on it. Watching the replay going, fuck. So, well, yeah, then. I was pretty proud about that. So I also had, I think one of my favorite possible moments from the weekend is, I heard about this later, but there's one part of my show, for anybody who's seen my show, where I take my shirt off. Because I'm
well aware.
Yeah, I'm gonna lay on a bed of nails, basically, and to show people that I don't have any padding, I take my shirt off.
Also, and it's good to not get shirt in your back in any way.
Exactly. Ooh. Yeah,
that would
get clothing stuck in the wound, which is why they fenced topless.
Yes. Absolutely.
But I found out about this later. But one of the Fondazi apparently was walking by the back of the audience during my show. And just at the point where I took my shirt off, she overheard a lady go, "Well, maybe I do want to watch this show after all."
What the fuck? That's the point at which I would have been maybe it's not worth it. I'm gonna go fuck off over here. What, somebody did want that pasty white dad bod? Is that what
somebody
wanted?
Somebody liked what they saw. Somebody was real thirsty, apparently.
You know what? Different flavor for everyone, I guess.
You know what? Yeah.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
It was Raiderly. No, I judge.
I mean, I still don't get it, but I have at least grown to accept that Raiderly finds you attractive.
No, but that amused the fuck out of me. but yeah, we did the thing and then spent all day today doing stage teardown. Stage is completely struck. We did the whole thing in under 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the army descended on the stage, and we all just, we've been doing this for so long that we just knew what to do, and we just got it done. And sure. I mean, that includes not only just taking down everything on the stage and the backstage, but also hitching the Vardos up to trucks and getting them hauled out. Everything got taken care of in under 2 hours. Mm-hmm. We just fucking flew through it. So, yeah, no, next weekend I'll go and strike the tent, but otherwise up top we're done.
See, today, so last night there was a bunch of stuff that got into the trailer for fencing booth, and then this morning there was some more work that happened with fencing booth, and I was gonna take my tent down today and just fuck off, but it was so goddamn dusty.
Yeah.
And the fencing booth area is just right in a fucking dust tunnel.
Yeah, it is.
And I literally could not see. I was like, I'm just going to fuck off because I'm done now. After trying to help with fencing booth stuff and then like just dust in the eyes, I'm like, I'm tired and I need to go home. I'm just not going to get the tent done today. So I'm getting the tent done tomorrow. There's still more teardown stuff to be done with fencing booth. But like we do ours in like chunks, I'm going to say. Yep. Like, because there's a lot of cleaning out of the back of the booth. Salsa, I assume there's a cleaning out of the backstage area, so kind of a similar thing. But I'm also going to assume that the people that use that backstage area are consistent. You know who's in your backstage area, whereas our volunteer-run booth, sometimes we get people that just showed up for half a day and we never saw from them again.
still a hat hanging up that no one knows.
And, like, nobody knows who the fuck it is. So, like, I think it's a longer process just trying to figure out.
Sort through
between
all of that.
I think we have 32 volunteers this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is not the full complement anyway. Yeah, no. But it's still not enough, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our max day, Josh said we had 32 volunteers. Other days, we did not have 32 volunteers, but but yeah, so that's, and like some of them only showed up for one weekend and then fucked off to Florida. Some of them, like, we don't, we just don't know where people are at or who owns what.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
just throw everything into a tub and
know.
We've gotten a couple of tubs that way.
Yep. Yeah, and now we just collect tubs. God, but yeah,
get a tub and like put the year on the side, and then just like cycle through them. And if it's been there for 3 years and nobody's claimed it, just the whole tub goes to Goodwill.
You know what? That sounds like a specific level of organization.
I forgot.
I'd love to be able to do that at the fencing booth.
I forgot I'm talking about fencing booth. Yeah.
I implemented a system this year, Salsa.
Oh.
For the back of booth.
What a surprise. Jenna implemented a system.
And I've got more coming. But I do have to.
Good. That place needs it.
I need to slowly introduce these systems. Otherwise, I'm just going to break
So you
everybody.
Don't scare the natives.
Right. Exactly. but no, we have a bunch of shelving. I introduced a bin system. Mm-hmm. It was the back of booth, like, because nobody had dedicated places to put their stuff. It was just, we'll put it on the stuff shelf.
Yep.
People would move things around to get to their stuff when other people put stuff in front of their stuff. And so then stuff would get put in front of other people's stuff. And then there, and then.
Yeah.
And last year I just brought one of those collapsible, like, grocery tote bin things. Mm-hmm. And I just put it on the shelf and I put my stuff there. And all of my stuff was always where I put it and where I wanted it.
Weird.
It was crazy. And I was like, what if we got bins for everybody at the booth so that everybody could put their stuff in a bin?
All right. Mm. Put your shoes in the cubby.
Yes. Yeah,
effectively.
We were also going to implement a shoe thing, but that was on Abby, and it didn't end up happening. So, but it is very basically that same idea.
Yep.
And yeah, got little name tags so people could put their name on stuff in case they needed to say, hey, can you grab my bin and find this thing out of it or whatever? And we implemented the system, and boy, howdy, was it so much easier to find things in the back of this.
It was almost immediately better.
Not 100%.
Sure.
Yep.
But it was good. And it was also handy because it's not, can you bring this back in the back of booth? If I was like, hey, can you put my leather mug in my bin? Then it's not just randomly somewhere in the back. It is specifically in the bin. This is one of those Six Sigma things where I did the one solution that resolved about 80% of the problem, the 80-20. Mm-hmm. And it worked so well. Yeah. And I think that did help a lot with cleanup this year.
I, I, uh, I love the Boothies all, but yeah, I they're a bunch of artists. Oh.
Let's be clear. It's also one of the reasons why I don't do more with Booth, like, you know, be like, hey, I could be part of the staff, or I could be sure. in charge of this thing. I would kill everybody.
Yep.
Yep.
Every single one. I am not capable of management within that booth in the ways that would be productive for anybody at that booth.
Yeah. No, I love hanging out with them, but I know the first time we tried to actually do business, I would immediately just go insane.
Yep.
I fit in so well there.
You really
I believe
do.
It. because I am absolutely the person who sits in meetings and goes, why the fuck are we talking about the football game? Let's get to the meeting, please.
Mm. Well, I do start my meetings with a little bit of chit-chat. But,
I fucking hate that.
Exactly 5 minutes of pleasantries on the following three? Subjects.
Yes.
Ooh.
3 minutes, yeah. Yes.
3 minutes. And I do that to have conversations starting as we're waiting for that one fucknut that we actively have to have at that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. It actually does productively provide environmental positivity and gets conversation flowing so that once mm-hmm. all of the players are at the meeting, we are able to move forward in a productive mm-hmm. manner.
Mm-hmm. One of the benefits that we have found to doing that in at my company, having a couple minutes of pleasantries, is that people find out their audio isn't working.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh.
Yep. Oh man, I was auto muted. No, there are active reasons you can have pleasantries for.
You know, pleasantries at the very beginning. I get yeah. that. While we're waiting for that one person to actually show up,
right.
I get that.
They're both saying that person. They mean me.
It's extraneous nonsense yeah. in the middle and the end.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
what I hate.
Yeah, that's fair.
But so booth is getting cleaned out yep. a little bit. Stage two booth cleaning at this point.
Phase two.
Well,
the reckoning.
I would say so. There was last night pre-party time,
mm-hmm.
Which was a large chunk of just getting things in, like masks and coats and all the rest of that stuff. Like, just the stuff that makes the fencing booth be a booth, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was just, take it down, we're done with this, we're not using it, we can just chuck it into the back of the U-Haul.
Mm-hmm.
So that was most of phase one. I would say this morning was 1.75.
Mm.
Where yeah. there's kind of an assessment thing that happens. There's various smaller tasks, but we're all fucking tired.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, taking on the ropes and the signs that may or may not have gotten taken down the night before, mm-hmm. taking down more of those and just figuring out different ways of going about things for next year, if there's any improvements. So it's kind of like some cleanup and some meeting, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was 1.75, and then there's a proper phase two next Saturday, I think, is when that's going to happen. So mm-hmm. yeah. So I will say two phases, but one of them has a very long what are we gonna call this a team building exercise in the middle.
I see.
And by that I mean drinking until 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Fuck. Yep.
And I respect that, but yeah, we everybody on my stage is past that point, I think. Yeah. We're all like, we get to 10 o'clock and we're tired. we're like,
oh,
we're done. We're not, we don't need to prove anything to anyone. We're going to bed.
I think for us, it's also because we don't go to cast party. Really? Yeah. Like nobody goes to cast party. God. I don't know how that's still a thing.
Nobody who's anybody.
I have no, I don't go to cast party. Fuck that.
But it is kind of our way of being able, because it's not just us. We invite other people to come hang out.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
But we invite other people to come hang out.
Well, you don't need to. I already know that I'm invited. I'm not going to go to because it means going up the hill, but.
Right.
Again, I'm old.
Right.
Yeah. Salsa's already over that hill.
Yeah. Not going to do that again.
Whatever, youngin.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah.
The
so
fewer times I need to go up that actually, hill in a day.
It's actually more like our own personal final call cast party type.
Oh, absolutely.
As opposed to whatever bullshit happened the night before.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I used to attend those and then I just want to sit in the campground with a couple people on a campfire and not.
That has its advantages.
I go back and forth. I think one of my frustrations this year is because Den doesn't have a campfire. I was like, "Aw."
Yeah, somebody parked a trailer on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
To be fair, she was told to.
Yeah.
By Jacques.
Yep.
So.
Well, the thing is so they were borrowing a trailer from a friend, and the friend dropped off the trailer. And the friend could have dropped off the trailer 6 feet further forward.
I don't think that's a full 6 feet further.
It's the width of it. They can park they can park a truck there sideways in front of that trailer. And they do. So, yeah, at 6 feet.
Well, there's that, but they were also talking about how they probably wouldn't use it if it was that close to everything anyway.
Well, if that trailer, they would move the fire pit but because
but moving the fire pit in any direction would complicate things. I was there for a very lengthy conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And Seth about this.
This is pushing directly on Jenna's tents and trees. Gaming,
yes.
I see.
Triangulation of resource usage.
There is a plan for next year, but yeah, cool. No, I agree. Aluma, the littlest dragon, was going to come down on Saturday night or Sunday night and hang out at the den, and couldn't find us because there was no fire, which was very sad and disappointing.
Mm.
But yeah, we'll straighten it out next year.
Yeah.
We didn't really structure any of this. We just talked about cleanup. Mm-hmm. How was the rest of the weekend itself for people?
Not bad. It was a pretty standard weekend, honestly.
Okay.
I fed Rick a grape.
I heard.
What?
Rick talked about this.
I did not hear about what the fuck.
Rick told me a story.
Have you seen the rebuild stage, Jenna, over at Sherwood? I don't know when the last time you were down there.
Well, I mean, I was down there for your wife's record.
Okay, you've seen the backstage area and.
I haven't wandered through the backstage area.
Okay.
At all, no.
So there's
a lot going on.
All right, so the stage. For those listening, the stage is elevated, probably 2.5 feet above ground level. And so to get onto the stage from backstage, there's a couple sets of stairs, one at the front of the stage and one at the back. And so this is an elevated stage, and the backstage area, you can see from the stage. And it is a tradition on our stage to fuck with whoever's on stage. Just to if they glance over and see you doing something goofy, they go, which is just goofiness to keep ourselves amused. And then on final day, we weaponize it. because on final day, our job is to try to get whoever's on stage to break.
It is Fire Me Sunday.
Yep. So during the Shakespeare show, the last piece they do is Hamlet. Yeah. And Rick Lockwood, as the king, is killed. Mm-hmm. And he dies. And he dies on the edge of the stage.
All right.
And his feet are towards the audience. and his head is facing our backstage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a poor choice.
So he can open his eyes and see us, and we can see him.
He shouldn't open his eyes.
No.
And he's laying there for like 7 minutes. Dead.
What a stagehog.
I know, right?
God damn it.
But I'm so other things are happening over on the other side of the stage.
Can you repeat that? I was time traveling.
Oh, sorry. Which part?
A second. I'm not
dead at the edge of the stage.
Dead at the edge of the stage. Yeah.
For like a solid 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Please go.
And so, yeah, I'll just go up to him and start telling him jokes, or the Fondazzi ladies will like do a twerk dance or something like that. Just because otherwise he gets bored, you know.
Yeah. Sure,
it's for him, not for us. So the king is dead, and Isabel, another one of the actors on the stage, is standing there just horrified because, you know, Hamlet is dying and the king is dead over here. And so she's just, oh, you know, oh no, oh, whoa, huh? You know? And so on Sunday during their first show, I see a bunch of grapes and I grab a grape and I walk over to the stage and Rick dies on the edge of the stage. And he opens his eyes and I hold up the grape and he gives me just the slightest nod and like very slowly and surreptitiously, like takes one hand and slides it down kind of off the edge of the stage so I can hand it to him. And I just shake my head and I get down and I army crawl up to the edge of the stage. Now I'm right next to the stage. The audience can't see me because I'm below stage level.
Mm-hmm.
And I just take the grape and I go up and I place it in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Rick thinks this is great. Rick's having the time of his life. This is amazing. He's laying here dead and he just got fed a grape. This is fantastic. Isabel, who's shocked that the king is dead, is desperately trying not to lose her fucking mind. And Stephanie, who's over comforting the dying Hamlet, like looks up and she's also just shocked and horrified at, you know, all the death and everything happening. And and she looks up and sees Isabel with one hand over her mouth, like trying to look horrified, but in reality fighting back laughter, and is like, oh God, what the fuck is happening? And she said she looked over and all I saw was a hand pop up off the edge of the stage and place a grape in Rick's mouth. And again, from the angle of the audience, they can't see a thing.
Invisible.
Because his body, the rest of his body is blocking their view.
Right.
But everybody on stage is seeing what's going on.
God damn.
And is trying not to lose their mind.
Oh my God.
I would have lost that fight.
Rick, he got done with that show and he came backstage. He was like, that is the funniest goddamn thing that's happened to me all year.
When he was telling me about that, I was sitting next to him during a thing and he said that you fed him a grape and he gave a real Cliff Note summary of it.
Yeah.
And he just said, popped a grape in my mouth while I was dead at the back of the stage and, or like hanging off the stage. And, that was the best grape I've ever had. Well,
that's really good.
Yep.
Now I know what I want for my birthday.
A grape?
I guess. Yeah.
I had, Okay, I had three things I wanted to bring up.
Then they got off stage. Please sorry, they got off stage, and Isabel walks up to me, and she goes, "Salsa Sterling, you did that on purpose."
No, I accidentally army crawled over and reached my hand up and over. Oh, I was purely, I tripped and Isabel fell into an army crawl.
Isabel was convinced that I was trying to make her laugh.
Ah.
And I was like, "I'm sorry, I was fucking with Rick. You just happened to get caught in the crossfire."
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry,
that's
go ahead.
Really funny. Oh, no worries. So I had a couple of things. When I was talking with people last night at the boothy shindig, our version of the funky formal, if you will, there, you know, a lot of stories about moments here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, so the worst moment that I had was the dude that called me sweetheart and whatever at the very beginning of the season. I've told that story, and it was gross, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
But from this past weekend, I didn't have anything that was exceptionally bad. We had early morning drunks on Saturday, like 10 a.m. or 10:30. This guy comes up and he goes to like set his drink down on my table and spills on it. And I'm just like, are you fucking with me right now, buddy? I ran him through all of my tests. He was very willing to do everything that I said. I was like, all right. I gave kind of a little bit of a hand jive warning off. And I was, and they were like, who was it? That was, I think it was Eli, was like, big. And I was like, nah. And it's just, you know, keep an eye because like it's 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude made it through. Dude had a great time, but like that was weird. But then I had a person who was really good at keeping her shit together, but I could tell was going to be an issue, but I had no real way to call it out. So I gave the signal for her. Josh caught it, and this is why he gets to be the booth owner. He caught it, he checked in, he was like, all right, well, she's not causing issues yet. And I was like, she will. And everybody else was like, I don't know what. And then towards the by, she was so close, you guys. She was so fucking close. She got through the maze, like an hour in the fucking maze. There were hoods and gloves and all the rest of that. And then just wasn't paying attention to what was going on. Wasn't hearing instructions.
Yeah.
In the middle chaos area. Before getting into the ring, and then just Josh is like, "Nope, sorry, you have to go." And threw a little bit of a tantrum, and he was like, "I don't care. Go.
Yep.
You can get your money back at the front." And like. And my job in giving refunds is to just smile and pretend sympathy. Unless they want to keep ranting at me, at which case I tell them they can fuck off. But like, you get one solid minute of me counting out your money, getting it to you, you collecting your shit to rant however you want to about whatever just happened, and leave. And then if you don't get your shit together, then I become another thing that you rant about.
Yep.
That's how that works, right?
It's tough but fair.
Yeah, so she comes out and she's just cranky about all of it. She's just like, "You said I wasn't following directions, but he didn't give me any directions." And like in my brain, I already know. I'm like, "No, he gave you directions like four or five times and you heard none of it." Yep. But yeah. She's like, "Well, I'm never going to fence here again." And the thing that happened in my brain was, you never fenced here before.
Yeah.
You had told me this was your first time.
Yeah.
You can't say you're never going to fence here again if you never fenced here in the first place, lady.
Like, it's a gay bar, Janet.
Right? I was like, oh, no. Oh, we lost such a valuable customer. Whatever. But yeah, just that fence here again. You've never fenced here in the first place. But I couldn't say it out loud because she was about to walk away. And if I had said it out loud, she would not. That's the hardest part of my job up at Cashback.
It's keeping your mouth
right
shut.
There. Keeping my goddamn mouth shut so I don't create more problems for myself.
We're going to end up giving you the crutchy award for a bitten tongue.
Oh, God.
The only injuries sustained this season.
So there was that interaction, but then I had the sweetest little interaction. Okay. And this wasn't even anything to do with the booth specific. There's a little girl. Her brother went in to go fight. She was all of a year and a half too. If they ask me, I'm gonna be like, nah, I love having the littles fight, but she's just a little too little.
This is too little, yeah.
Still fully walking, running, engaged with things overall, but just not big enough yet.
Too small for the pumpkin coat.
Too small for the pumpkin
too
coat.
Cute.
It's so adorable. So she's there watching everything, and she grabs onto the rope for the front of the thing, and I'm like, hey, sweetie, I need you to not hold on to the rope. Can you just take a step back? And she's like, oh, okay. And she takes a step back, and that's it. That's the interaction I have with her. I had a little bit of an interaction with her when, we were getting her brother set up for a champion fight. And then just that, and that was it. Brother finishes up. He comes out. Dad goes, okay, F, it's time to go. And she goes, okay. And then she comes over and gives me a hug.
Oh, it's too cute. Nope.
And I'm like, I don't know what I did to deserve this, you precious sweet thing. I felt bad when I told you to not touch my rope. And I thought you hated me. And I just it was so precious and so sweet. And it just
that is really good.
That's fantastic.
And then the one moment, one thing that I did that was weird over the weekend was I had the morning off on Sunday and worked the afternoon.
We've entered topsy-turvy world.
We have. I was not feeling well. And here's the thing. There's a lot of joking about it because it's really fun to fuck with the person that was involved with this. But it's not his fault. I'm not going to say anything out loud, but I basically ate something that, unbeknownst to everybody, had a thing in it I was allergic to. And so, yeah, I had a very rough several hours. I slept for 12 hours, and I said so. I was explaining to somebody else. I was like, yeah, after that, I just slept for basically 12 hours straight. And somebody was like, somebody who overheard but didn't have context was like, oh my God, good for you. And I'm like, no, that's not actually the. No, I was not feeling well. That's how that happened. So we decided that I would take the morning off and work the afternoon, which was very fortuitous because a friend of mine came out, a friend of all of ours, but not actually a friend of the podcast yet. So I'm not gonna name names because I'm never quite sure in certain privacy things.
Sure.
This is a person who hadn't been to the festival in 15 years. And so because I had the morning off, I just met him at the gate in plain clothes. And I just spent time with a friend wandering around the festival for a bit. I don't think I've ever fucking done that. I'm not lying. I have. My first many, many years, I was an entertainer, and you don't generally just take time off to spend a day in plain clothes. And I've over the past 5 years or so, I've actually have taken time, even towards the end of my entertainment time, to spend some plainclothes time. Number one, because I want to drink mead, and I'm not doing that in costume. I have standards. But but number two is, like, it does help give you a perspective, especially for someone like me who grew up out there and was never a patron to begin with. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know
what
people do. But actually taking the time to be with a friend who had not experienced the festival, I originally thought he'd never been, but no, he was like, no, I was here once 15 years ago. And I'm like, oh. But still basically does not know where anything is, has not experienced various things.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, well... And so, like, he walks in the gate, and the first thing he says, sees are three entertainers that I actually did not... I think they may be a part of Rick's group, actually. They were doing some Weird Sisters, whatever.
Sure.
And I, as my friend came in, they were doing a thing right in front there. And I walked over to him, and he was like, oh, I know that one. Did theater with her for a thing, or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, hooray! Oh. So that's cool.
That is cool.
And then
the Venn diagram of festy and theater people are exists.
That's the thing. Like, so, and then of course we talked to Eric Knight doing the concierge thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he gave me all of the jokes, and I wish he wouldn't. But my friend was happy with them, so whatever. Fuck it. And recommended some things. And then we kind of meandered towards fencing. And then I kicked his butt in fencing. And James was our ringmaster, so that was lovely. I'm like, oh, yay. I'm so glad James is, like, because James came back in right as we were going to do our fight. So I was like, oh, yay.
Okay. Timing.
And, like, so I'm talking with him about different shows. I'm like, you know, because I was going to have to get back to like actually start my afternoon shift, and he still had some time. I'm like, so here's some shows you might want to see. We did go see the Dregs, because I was like, well, I know, you know, like at least three people in the Dregs. So
yeah,
and it's on my way back. So we got some mead. I didn't have mead. He did. Went to see the Dregs. But I was talking over shows with him. I'm like, okay, so yeah. What kind of shows you're interested in? And it was like circus. And I was like, cool. So like when I talk about circus, I clump the Danger Committee in.
Sure.
Because it's a knife throwing and things like that.
No,
right?
They are
circus.
Yeah.
To me, juggling is just this weird redheaded stepchild, though.
Hey. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, what asshole can't juggle? I can't.
Yeah.
But, and I'm an asshole, so story checks out. But I was like, so there's Danger Committee. And, of course, he knows one of the people involved in Danger Committee.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's like, I'm really interested in fire stuff. And I was like, oh, well, let me recommend Hugh Fondazzi or Littlest Dragon. And they're at this stage. Also, our friend Salsa is at this stage. And he's like, oh, what does he do? I was like, he swallows swords. And he's like, nope.
Well, it seems like we have the answer to our question from last week.
Right? Yep. So yeah, you could go down there for one of the other shows and say hi to Salsa while you're down there. He's like, yeah, we'll see what
that didn't happen because I didn't see
I kind of assumed not. But yeah. It was just wandering around in plainclothes with a person who is experiencing a festival from a completely different viewpoint than I do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just being able to do that. And then watching him be like, God, I know so many people out here. Just
yeah.
Like, you do.
Yep.
Long story short, I may have convinced him to come play with us at Fencing Booth.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
But, yeah. Anyway, so and like I said, I think that's actively a first for me. I don't generally wander around with newbies.
I
best. And I highly recommend the experience. Having a newbie be like, oh God, what is that thing? And you're like, old thing? That's just the giant rocking horse. Like, I don't think twice about it. I walk past it 18 million times a day and it means nothing to me. But somebody who's never seen it before is like, holy shit. You know? Like, it's a dumb thing to me, but it's for the person who's seen it the first time, it's good to capture that newness, that wonderment.
Oh yeah.
When I did
the young Warthog.
Yeah. When I was tapped to do the morning TV news thing promoting the festival. Like the whole interview was just like, you know, what are you doing? Blah blah blah, this, that. And it was like, yeah, you know, blah blah blah. You should do it. The one moment that caused me to almost panic was when they said, what are you looking forward to at the festival? What do you recommend? That was the moment that I almost went, I don't fucking know everything. Cause it was that same kind of like, you don't know. What's
giant fucking rocking horse, man. Nobody knows it exists until they see it.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It took me a moment to just kind of like, what would somebody who's never been out here want to know about? You know, like, and on camera, I'm just like, oh, you know, well, but inside, I'm just going, I don't fucking know the things that everybody does.
Stuff you like.
Well, and so when our friend came in through the gate and we were talking with concierge proper, and not just our buddy, it was like, so, you know, he's asking, Eric does a very good job of asking people what it is that they are looking for.
Eric is
the person to be like, here's some stuff.
He is an entertainment sommelier.
Really is.
Not just entertainment, though. But when I say entertainment, I don't mean like entertainment versus food. Department. I mean like what is going to entertain you, be that food or music or games or whatever like that? What is going to bring entertainment to you? Like, he's really good at just, like I said, being a sommelier to your tastes and saying, you should go do this.
It was the kind of thing that I used to do at a couple of anime cons.
But yeah, so like we went to talk to Eric about various things, and I was like, honestly, Eric's going to have better recommendations for you. I don't even know. But he was asking about food, and our buddy was like, so like, do you recommend the drumsticks? Cause I was feeling protein. And Eric was like, no, don't. Like, I, my first reaction was like, bleh. And Eric was like, and our buddy was like, so are they bad?
Nope. And
to his credit, Eric, very beautifully, they're fine.
Yeah.
They're not great. Sometimes, you know, you want to get the leg for the experience so that you can say you had the leg for the experience.
Yeah.
But it's not exciting. Let me recommend to you all of these top five places to go for exciting food at the festival. Like, he did it so beautifully to where if our buddy had decided to get a turkey leg, would not feel bad about it. Our buddy, I believe he did take the recommendation to go to Royal Asian and have the curry.
Oh my God, yes.
Right. He was like, okay, that does sound good. And he's like, do you like the curry? And I'm like, I can't have the curry. It's got coconut in it.
Yeah.
But I do like Royal Asian, and they do have a lot of other food that I enjoy. So,
yeah.
The turkey leg reminds me of all of the like tiny Minnesota bar things that they do, like shooting the minnow, where they drop the minnow into the shot, and the minnow is not the point.
Right.
It's the experience.
I'm watching Salsa's face like,
I have not heard of this before, and I...
Oh, right. Shit. I thought this was a super common thing.
No, not the bars I go to.
No, here's the thing. I only know about it because I've spent time in rural Minnesota.
That. Yep.
Salsa is not a rural Minnesotan.
Nope. I'm he's a rural, transplant.
But not a rural Minnesotan.
No, we grew up on Chislic.
Chislic?
Oh, Chislic is cubed.
That
meat.
Already sounds disgusting to me, by the way. I just want you to know.
No, it is. What? It is absolutely fantastic. It is.
Yeah, I'm immediately curious and hungry.
Chislic is actually, if you've ever heard of shashlik, which is a Middle Eastern dish, it is kind of derived from that. But chislic is a very, it is a South Dakota, like, local dish that only exists in South Dakota.
Okay.
But it is cubed beef or lamb that has been deep fried and then smothered in garlic salt.
Oh, shit.
Ah, I have to go change my underwear now. That actually does sound amazing.
Yeah. I also have to change my underwear.
But it is, the thing is, it's not like juicy meat. It has been deep fried to the point of being a drier, hardened cube. Not like, you know, but crunchy.
Like a briskety type thing almost, maybe?
It's
like
it's
a cubed brisket as opposed to a pulled brisket.
Yeah. So it's a little chewier and you know, not super juicy, but it is deep fried meat covered in garlic salt. Okay. And it is fantastic.
I would try this. Yeah.
That sounds like way better than the fucking minnow game.
Significantly. Definitely.
Yeah, no. I never thought South Dakota might win out on anything, but this time, South Dakota.
For me, the thing is, I've always really liked the turkey legs with one major thing. And caveat. That is, one major caveat. And that is, thank you. You're holding the stick of this pronto pup. You're holding the bone in this thing. And like really sifting through it because it's not just the meat. Contrary to like the Flintstones, there's a lot going on there as far as body structural stuff. Mm-hmm. But you're carrying this thing around. It's kind of the same problem that I have. Like, I love a popsicle,
right?
But I don't want to carry a popsicle, or I don't want to have to babysit a popsicle,
right?
I love the turkey legs. I don't want to have to babysit the turkey leg.
I think that's a very valid point. And I think that's one of my issues with the turkey legs.
Sure.
I have two more cons and a pro for you on turkey legs. Number one.
It's time for the game. Two cons and a pro.
There's the walking around thing and the not being able to, the babysit factor, right? There's the babysit factor of the turkey leg. There's the flavor. It's not exciting. Again, it's fine. And if you need a fuck ton of protein right away, great. But I feel like more could be done with them that isn't. Flavor-wise, I'm just like, yep, you're a turkey leg. All right.
Yeah.
And they're not... the second con that I have to it is inconsistency of texture.
Yeah.
Depending on which booth and who made it at what time, sometimes it is actually kind of juicy and I'm like, oh, this is mildly pleasant. Sometimes you get that freezer burned dried motherfucking turkey leg and it's just not. Yeah. Pro, there's so much cartilage and sinew in those things that you can floss your teeth right away.
That is a weird pro.
I wanted to give it a pro. So I found one.
And on the plus side, this product is extremely upsetting. Okay.
Yeah. No. Oh, what I meant to say was three cons, but no, I hate the sinewy cartilage bullshit stuff that they build everything around for those things. I hate it.
Honestly, the pro to the turkey legs is the, again, what like James was saying, the experience of walking around with that giant fucking club.
Yeah. Meat and a beer. Like this is the life that people,
but it is purely a visual thing and not a
Sure.
A flavor thing.
It's not about the food. It's about the feel.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that is the whole point to the big fuck all things is aesthetic and not gourmet.
Mm. Right. No, I get that. That's really the only reason I could think to do a turkey leg. Yeah. Like, you know, for the experience as a part of the atmosphere and everything else. But yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me. Mm.
Not for me.
So,
well, to be fair, no food is for me.
To be fair. James, you haven't talked nearly as much as you normally do on this, and I don't want to encourage that you start. But sure.
I've just got some real quick high points that I could hit.
All
right. Friday, we did, I think now our third engagement with the murder mystery.
Mm.
And
so not a festival-related thing.
No. It was really good, but it was dark, but it was gorgeous because we were watching the sunset, not just watching the sunset across the river or anything like that. We were watching the sunset through the trees into the forest.
Mm.
Like the streaming golden light, you know, shifting to amber and then the purples and things like that, but that light pouring in through the leaves and dappling all of the stuff around us as we're walking around and talking about this this park and this supposed murder mystery and that kind of stuff. It was really nice. It was a good time. For me, Saturday, one of the big things was the last call show of the year.
Okay, sure.
And Kyle, my erstwhile occasional comedy partner, was off doing a fringe.
Yep.
And so just a huge series of plays somewhere. Kyle was producing a bunch of them. Or producing like five, whatever details. So that meant that I had a different co-host this time. And so a friend of the podcast, Rababa, was there and we got complimented on our hosting chemistry. Which was amazing. Yeah. And
I believe that actually, I believe the two of you would have chemistry on stage, especially in that type of setting.
And, pretty hilariously, someone was like, oh yeah, this was, I've been to all the other shows this year. This one is definitely my favorite. And Rob, who usually hosts the wine show, went, oh, ow. Fuck. Yeah, because that means that person had attended his show and liked the show that he was just like the kind substitute teacher for.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, that was real fun. And then
out of all of the classes that I attended today, arts and crafts was my favorite. It was like, but I did theater for you 3 hours ago. Never mind.
And you just watched a movie. Yeah. One of the very cool things was that previous booth owners, Mav and Ro, and one of their smalls was with them, and they sat in the back of the audience for last call for a good part of the show.
The weekend, and I was like, fuck.
I know they were having a weirdly similar experience to yours, where they haven't really spent any time out enjoying the festival.
Right.
And so they just like here and there. Mm-hmm. They actually didn't stay for the entire show, which I understand. I've seen it. But the one of the things that happened that was pretty negative about that last show, it went really well in some places, but I showed up to collect my group, and there was someone who was already, like, should never have gotten a wristband.
Yep.
For a drinking event. Yeah. They should have recognized, I maintain, you know, like, he was not keeping his shit together well sitting down in a quiet area, not being entertained.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened. Maybe, you know, his friend, like, did the, oh yeah, we're here.
We've got a group of us. Yeah. Or they got the something like that. And then right. proceeded to drink.
I don't, you know. I don't blame the events people for that happening.
No.
But like, I know that one-on-one, if that person had approached me and I was checking them in, no. Right. But that's also not how it happens all the time. We brought him to the show. He's being loud. He's interrupting. He's yelling at other crowd members. Like, I'm used to drunks that yell at the performers or try to be like involved in the show.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not used to managing drunks who are like yelling at the audience for not clapping more or for not laughing at a joke or something.
I call that the get off my team buddy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the person who thinks they're helping.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Mm.
Get off my team, buddy. Also, I say that to a lot of Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They started giving him half pours. I think his first beer was a half pour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he got one more beer, which was a quarter pour. And then decided that he was done with the show because he had just like knocked that back in an instant. And then he, while everyone else was enjoying a full mug of beer, he was, you know, watching the show with a bottle of water in front of him and was real upset and kept talking to me off on the side saying like, being like, Hey, where's the beer? I don't have any beer. I'm supposed to have beer, right? And just like,
oh god,
yeah,
my guy, yeah. Security did show up, but the guy just, like I said, he just got tired of waiting for more beer and left. But I had one of those spirit of the staircase moments, because it was, I want to say, like a third to a half of the way through the show. That he decided he didn't want to be there. I had one of those spirit of the staircase moments much later while I was driving home that night, where I was like, what I could have done was just tell the entire audience that I'm putting the show on pause to talk to this guy, sit down very quietly with him and say, and what the phrase that came to mind is, hey, you spent money on a ticket for this show. Are you really going to talk over the whole fucking thing? And then, mm-hmm. like, try to reason with him, but I don't know, because drunks are so varied and so volatile.
Yeah, so, it's that could go over really well, and that could
go over well.
It explode.
Could go over poorly. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, for that guy, it could go well, or it could explode. For the audience, as a whole, may have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they would have been like, oh, this guy is trying to take care of our needs. Our needs are to see the show and not listen to Fuck Off McGee.
Right.
It's a thing that I dealt with a lot during Feast of Fantasy, because the Belly Dancers were one of the last acts.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the closing act, not always. And especially at the end of the day at Third Feast, when people had time to drink before getting to the Feast of Fantasy. There are a lot of drunk assholes. And I remember one moment very specifically. Well, there was a guy that was talking over me as I was introducing the ladies, that kept shouting things at them And this is within the first 3 minutes. I did not let it go longer than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And this guy was seriously being disrespectful to the rest of the audience that was around him by talking over the show. Mm. But also the things he was saying were not very polite to my ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck you. Not the first time it had ever happened, for sure. But I was just, I was like, this guy is fucking everything. And so I'm going to go unfuck this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I walked up to him and I was like, you need to sit down. You need, no, you are done. Do you want me to take these ladies out of here? Because I fucking will. If you don't shut the fuck up. Mm. I was like, you. And I point to the person next to him. You're his friend. You're his friend. You take care of that. Because if you don't, I will. And you don't want me to.
Yeah.
So you watch him and the rest of us can all have a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I turn around and, like, I swear to God, I could feel the audience release their tension.
Mm.
Once I addressed that individual, because the rest of this audience for this feast, for whatever part, like, at whatever point this dude got uppity, the rest of the audience was having to deal with this person being a part of the show they didn't pay
right.
for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took him out of the equation, and the audience went, oh, thank God. Like, I could just feel that. And sometimes you do have to call that person out for the sake of the other people that have bought the tickets. To a certain extent, it's kind of utilitarian to me. I'm like, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few kind of situation.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
All of these people deserve to have a good time, and that fucknut has ruined his.
And it is definitely that see something, say something, that that idea is everybody's going to stand around waiting for somebody to say something.
Right.
Somebody should say something, and somebody has to be that something. And when you are putting on a show, everybody is looking to you to be that person.
That person.
Yeah. And I was, so sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I have a shorter fuse for it. When I was the mouthpiece for the belly dancers, because if I don't nip it in the bud right away, it can become a problem.
Very much so.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, and
I took an improv class, or a specifically street entertainment class from Butch Roy, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he taught us was that when things happen, everybody's seen it. Everybody knows it happened. Everybody's aware of it happening.
Right.
Ignoring it is only going to cause tension, and it is going to split attention. It is going to split focus.
Yep.
If you address it, now you are joining their focus. Instead of them having a split focus, now everybody's focus is on one point. Now you can grab that focus and pull it back to you.
Yeah.
And instead of fighting that, now by joining the focus, you're able to direct the focus. And
like
so,
stand-up comedians handling hecklers. And
exactly. And like that. It is same idea.
Like Uncle Iroh redirecting lightning.
Yeah. It is somebody, but when you're a performer, that person, somebody should say something. That person is you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I apologized to a couple of our performers the next day, saying like, "Hey, as someone who is supposed to be hosting the show, I should have addressed this guy, and just didn't. I froze up. I didn't know how to deal with it, and didn't do it in time. And I apologize.
Learning experience."
It is. Yeah. Well, and the other thing is like, the vast majority of my experience managing drunks out at Fest is handing them swords.
That's fair.
Like if I was at my morning job, I would have been putting a sword in that guy's hand and telling him like, here's the fucking thing.
Yeah. Go attack
your pals.
With this. Right.
But.
Yeah.
Our goal is for you to look cool, and you want that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that guy's goal was to get even
more drunk,
shit faced. Right. He wasn't there for the entertainment. He was there for the beer, which is nuts. But yeah,
it's not good beer. Who goes to a Ren Faire for the beer? It's
fine.
It's probably the turkey leg.
The permission. It's the permission to drink. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to have the turkey leg and the ale.
Yeah.
Whatever you're.
But I mean, again, even then, it should be the mead.
Well, it really should be.
But yeah, I didn't know how to manage that guy. I'm gonna keep trying to figure that out. But this guy in now a couple years of doing this show, that guy was the most far gone that I've ever seen. I also know that like that may also be because Kyle has been at the others, and Kyle is an imposing dude. Like we're both like loud and boisterous and that kind of stuff, but he's got like he's inches taller than I am, and he's like he's got broader shoulders, he's a bigger guy.
So
if he had walked over and said like, hey, you're too drunk, you need to shut up, that guy probably would either have left then or might have shut up. I don't know. And then on Sunday I did a fencing booth thing with Jenna. It was great.
You were the ringmaster.
Yeah. Had a great last day at booth. Had a great after hours, you know, like party thing. Jenna lent me a dress, and lots of people gave me very nice compliments on it.
In the next couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah, I figured you'd probably want it washed.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
You should tell more about the group cosplay that you stumbled into.
Oh really. Yeah, I showed up and I had brought clothes to wear for Funky Formal, and they were I was like, I do not have the strength to do this. We're not going to wear a shirt, and that's going to be the thing because I don't normally.
Right.
But it's all about wearing something that you wouldn't normally that you feel confident in, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And, I was like, I'll try this. And then Jenna was like, you need this dress. and she was right.
The dress in question, I do need to say, it's like a one size fits all, and it really does fit fucking anybody. It's weird. The stretch on it is incredible. This is a dress that I look amazing in. I wear a little belt with it because it's a little big in the midsection for me, just as kind of like a looser sheath dress. So the belt really adds a lot to it for me. But then, like, I'm half of James.
Yep.
And James wore this dress. And for anybody that's seen pictures on my Facebook, it's the tentacle octopus dress with the tentacles coming up from the bottom hem, because
I was Ursula. Josh was Prince Eric. Eli was King Trident, and
Titan.
Triton, yeah.
King Trident.
But I had a trident.
Yes, that was what my brain latched onto. Yep. And then Cole was Ariel with legs.
With the blue dress and the black bodice.
Right, and it was so much fun.
It was so ridiculous.
So we dressed up, we fenced in the dark, which is ill-advised.
Right.
But we did that. I got to see people and hang out with them, and it was lovely and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, it was 3 a.m. And I had a quick check-in with Jax, who they had gone to the car, I thought for AC, and I had given them like some allergy meds and things like that. They were enjoying the AC, but they were like, you know what? My allergies are kicking my ass. Is it okay if we go home? And I was like, yeah, let's do that. It's after 3.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Yeah. So I said, goodbye as quickly as possible, without making the rounds, which is unusual for me. But I was like, yeah, like it's good. We got to go. So I got us home. We passed out until 11 or 12, which means that I slept through more than one alarm this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, in the afternoon, we've got a place very close to us that sells a variety of CBD and THC drinks, in addition to different alcohols. And we had some of those, and I was like, you know what? My body is so sore and tangled up this morning. I'm going to give that a shot. And
sure,
it was
one
that I had had some of before, and I've had whole cans of others. And it might be just the particular day. It might be, I don't know, but I drank that while I was having my lunch and then did not wake up for 6 hours. I just ceased to exist on this plane and time traveled to 6:30.
Oh god.
But I hurt.
Okay, do your muscles feel a bit better?
Did that help?
Okay.
Yeah. But that is that's why today is also not a drinking day for me. I got a lot of that in last night and early this morning, and then accidentally knocked myself out this afternoon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this Coke Zero is great.
We did get to do morning meeting, though.
Yes. Oh my god, I love morning meeting.
So morning meeting. For those of the podcast, actually, James, maybe you should explain it, but I want to talk about my takeover.
Yeah. So originally, morning meeting had been, this is the 8 a.m. safety check and like equipment rundown, all of this stuff. And this is this weekend, so be aware of these things and try to do this, whatever. This is the thing that we noticed last week with the gloves. Make sure that blank, right. For a few years, while there was a different booth owner, that stopped happening. And so late at night, technically,
after midnight.
Yeah, at like midnight 01 or midnight 10, it was the morning. And Cole had been taking yoga. And I think this was pre you taking over, but we went into the ring. And in the dark with our drinks and did drunk yoga for, 5-10 minutes, something like that. And it turns out that's amazing.
It helps your body so much for the next day.
Yeah. Yep.
Especially doing it drunk because you're feeling it, but you're not feeling it. And then the next morning, you've already pre-stretched everything out before going to bed, so you're not as bad as you could be.
Yeah.
No, it's a great idea.
It was absolutely fantastic when we could do that, and I do miss it. So it was like it's now a beloved tradition to do that Sunday, final Sunday night, and Monday morning. But Jenna. After Cole had been doing that for like a year or two, Jenna was like, oh, yoga, you say?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I had talked to Cole because I didn't want to just take it over like I take over podcasts. I wanted to.
And horror fests.
To be fair, I did not take over the horror festival. The horror festival took over me. I know, right? Aww. That one's kind of cute. This was Cole's thing and I fully went with it. And I was like, hey, there are certain stretches that I like to do. And then Cole was like, well, then do them. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, you're leading the next one. And then I did. And I was like, oh, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I love it when I tell people to do this thing with their body and I hear, oh.
Yeah.
It's so good. It is so delicious. And so, like, I always check in with Cole. Like, in my mind, it is still his thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, last night I was like, who's leading this, you or me? And he's like, you are, obviously. You're the one that said things loudly. And I was like, well, shit. I suppose that's a fair point. Mm. But, yeah. So, like, I got to lead. I always feel honored to lead it because I still feel like it's Cole's thing. Mm. But also, he's old. And eventually, I'll just tell everybody to do a specific stretch. And he won't get up again. So it'll be fine. Eventually, I will take it over proper. But in the meantime, I would like to honor him.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
With the poses that...
one of the things that I super value about Cole, one of the reasons that I love working with him out at Fest, one of the reasons that I consider him to be a very dear friend, is that he, like, Cole has an ego in a very different way than most people have an ego. His ego is, I taught them that, or I like. Yeah, they're doing that thing that they're like, that's awesome. They took this thing and they built it into more. He is experiencing a kind of compersion, ego compersion.
Yeah.
That person.
It's the proud doing something
bigger. Yes, exactly. Oh,
I have the same thing with various people at Fest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I think some of them even know who they are.
Yeah.
But yeah. What bothers me is when I start a thing and then somebody takes it over without acknowledging that I started it. And then I'm like, fuck you, this was my idea. Mm. Like, I do get weirdly, like, it's a double-edged sword for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm helping somebody and encouraging and giving them ideas and being like, yes, please... Little fledgling, take this and run with it. And then they build it into something that's amazing. I'm like, fuck yes. But if somebody just takes over a thing I did, I'm like, fuck you, bitch. Mm. I'll stab you. There might be things. Don't worry about it. So anyway, should we maybe take a break? FBI secrets or some shit?
We should probably TIA. Do that.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Well, it's a productive thing I can do in my air conditioning in my car. I'm like, I'm actively doing a thing, jamming out to the Eagles while there's unicorns splatter across my windshield. Like, it's great. It's fantastic, man.
What a great phrase.
Yep.
Yep. Good. Good, good, good.
Are we back?
Yes, we are. I'm Salsa.
Okay. I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Whew. And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
I know that Jenna makes fun of me for being low energy, but this is what I've got right now.
You fucking earned this one. I don't even care. I'm also low. Like, some of us are better actors than others, Salsa, and I just need to come to accept that I'm better at this than you are. That's fine.
Oh, okay. I'm fine. Whatever. I only care about the opinions of people that matter.
Huh. Well, then, fuck you.
An excellent and well-reasoned rebuttal. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. I am staked through the heart. I do not know if I can respond to that.
This is correct.
All right. Today's Fast Five comes to us from. Stefan Senpai. I dropped the box. Stefan Senpai.
Stefan! Not as easy as it looks, is it, Salsa?
Now that noisemaker is going to be all foamy.
But
my cabbages.
Oh, my cabbages.
All right. Opening thoughts. Uh-oh. I am not talking about bad events that happened to my family recently.
Oh, honey, sweepy.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh. As an aside.
Okay.
I'm going to pause for a second. Jenny was out this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Stefan's sister was out. I expected to run into her more and did not. I ran into her. She had gone to the fencing booth looking for me when I was hanging out at the den, and then I left the den to go to the fencing booth as she was coming down the hill. So we met at the bottom of the Mark Lazarchuk Memorial Hill. And I expected to run into her more and just did not see her more. And I was very sad about that. I'm like, aw. But anyway.
Right. Where was I? Question number one. Oh, well, I did. Yeah, I did the opening.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking fried. Question number one.
I was sad, so I distracted from it.
Yeah, I'm.
Because I'm bad at emotions. Anyway, continue.
My brain is pudding. Question number one, teeth or eyes?
Oh, God, with that set up?
No, exactly.
Like an insurance question or?
I'm going to pretend that I didn't get any kind of setup or context. It's possible these don't actually have anything to do with recent events and like the way Stefan phrased it. So I'm going to say that when I have any kind of initial attraction to somebody, it is the eyes.
Oh.
And not like their smile or how good their teeth are or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do love a person that can give good facial expression. Mm-hmm. But if I can see that expression in their eyes, especially when you get that little twinkle.
Yeah.
That very specific twinkle in the eye.
Yeah,
Dwayne The Rock Johnson actually does it perfectly.
Oh, he's he gives good face.
He gives good face. The eyes especially, though. Like, his entire face is great, but the eyes?
No, there are definitely people who smile does not reach their eyes, and that is just creepy.
No, and sometimes the smile is only in the... Shut up. God damn it, Salsa, I hate you. But sometimes the smile is only in the eyes, and I almost like that more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that was just for us.
I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to go with, do you taste food with your eyes or with your mouth? Yeah. And presentation of food is a lot, but the flavor is going to carry it. I have eaten some real gross looking foods before. And you, but I mean, restaurants are always like you taste with your eyes first, and I'm, they're right, you do. But at the end of the day, it's got to taste good. End of story.
I grew up in poverty. I don't care what it looks like. I've had some things that actually look really good that are absolutely disgusting.
Exactly.
I don't trust it. I don't trust good looking food.
All right.
James?
I'm going to say teeth. On multiple levels.
Okay.
But like my teeth are in a good place and my eyes are not. So I have to get like the extra thiac glasses.
Oh.
So
So when I recently got in, I am at like a plus four.
Mm-hmm.
Not there. There's no.
You just have to do everything
you can pick plus, up at, yeah. off a thing, right? But they make lenses now that are thin, mm-hmm. that otherwise would have been thicker.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the polycarbonates. Yeah.
Yeah. Worth it. Oh God, sure. So worth mm-hmm. it. These glasses I've had for a week now, with my mm-hmm. new prescription, and oh my God, so fucking worth it. I recommend. Do that up.
Yeah, no, I'm changing my mind now and going with optometrist or dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And I dislike the dentist more, not because I have a problem with the dentist, but because I get bored here at the dentist.
Well,
I always have them gas me up, so I don't care.
Getting a little foam airplane from my dentist's office.
Aww.
My kids still do.
I actually didn't go to a dentist growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because my parents suck. And I got no better thing than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when I started going to a dentist regularly, in my mid to late 20s,
mm-hmm.
that's when I could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite was the second dentist office that I started going to, because the first one wasn't quite a right fit for me. The second one had suckers. And I'm like, they were sugar-free, I guess. I don't know. But like in my mind, I'm like, well, that's just job security.
Yeah. The vicious cycle.
Right? Yeah. I'm just like, you know what you're about.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Like, they don't need to gasp, but I just get bored because I can't talk to them, and so I just kind of doze mm-hmm. while they're doing all of that. But you can't really doze because you got to keep your mouth open, and if you fall asleep, you close your mouth, and then they wake you up, and that's annoying.
No, my favorite dentist is one that would gas you up, but also gave you like specific headphone things.
Mm.
And you could like at this time we didn't have like Bluetooth on our phones to connect to things and whatnot. I bet they do it now.
Yeah.
But they'd be like, what kind of music do you want? And you could just fucking gas up and zone out as they're working on your teeth. And I'm like,
that sounds amazing.
It's like a goddamn vacation right now. Like,
yeah.
All you
need is unicorn splatter on that and it's perfect.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Exactly. Question number two. Face or hands?
Hands. I'm way more protective of my hands than probably any other part of my body. And I like genuinely
You can fuck up my face, but if my hands are damaged, I'm a sad fucker.
Right.
I'm gonna go with face.
Mm.
So I've worked very hard and I've lost a lot of weight, not to lose weight, but kind of to lose weight. I don't know how to describe it. I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Content warning, body image. The fact that when I am bigger, my face looks like my mom's face. And I don't like looking in a mirror and seeing an exceptionally harmful person looking back at me. Like, it's a weird fucked up thing that they don't generally cover in, childhood abuse, PTSD,
right?
Stuff, right? So I have actually lost, from the time that I started, which was, like about a year ago, I was almost back up to where I tried to start from. So I'll say a year, roughly 30 pounds, over the course of a year and some change, let's say.
Yeah.
And I've recently, with that weight loss and some other, I've been doing a lot of face stuff. I've gotten some new products. I've been playing around with stuff, not makeup wise, but just like face care product. Mm-hmm. And I it happened about a week ago. I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, that's my face.
Oh.
I know, right? Mm. I was like, well, now I'm teary. But like, yeah. It is, there's something about seeing your own face looking back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As opposed to what you've been struggling with on a psychological level.
Yeah.
It was so good. And as much as I love my hands, my short, stubby little hands, with my short, stubby little arms, T-Rex, I definitely put more care into my face. And I think it is because of the reasons that I just said.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see me.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah.
An identity that is not that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, question number 3. We'll try to follow up with that. Brakes or engine?
Oh.
If the engine goes out, you can still coast and get safe. If your brakes go out, you're fucked.
Yeah, that is a huge problem.
You can snap yourself into neutral, and get yourself to a coast state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But shit. I think I spend more care on my engine than I do my brakes, though.
Oh, really? Okay.
My particular vehicle was the last of this specific make model. 2011 Honda Pilot that has the older engine style before they did. I don't know the specific technicals on it, but it's how everything gets pumped from one place to another in the engine. It has to do with the valves and everything.
Mm.
Sure.
So it's the last of that make model that used the older style engine as opposed to the newer style engine.
Gotcha.
And so sometimes I will get build up stuff in the engine itself. Mm. Like seal issues or things like that. And it is more important to me to take care of the engine because it's more expensive. So if I put more time into the engine, I'm saving cost overall.
I suppose. Right.
And if it does go out, getting a new one is
you're
harder.
Just car.
Yeah.
I did last week pay off my car. So,
oh,
hey,
good on you.
That so is no, I will moment. Need to take care of my engine next month for sure.
mm-hmm. Well, knock on wood. Yeah.
One less loan, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have no loans right now.
Oh, wow. Well done.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have no loans. I do have credit card debt.
Okay. All
right. Right. But I have no proper loans anymore.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've paid down a lot of my credit card debt, too. I had it all paid off, minus the loan.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved in here, and then I just wanted to buy a bunch of nice stuff for my new house. So I
did that.
Oh, yeah.
And then I recently bought a new computer, stuff like that. But
sure.
No, it's still under a specific number that I set for myself. So yeah.
No, there is a special moment when you make that final payment on the loan. Oh.
Oh, the student loan is the best.
It's orgasmic.
Oh my God. Oh
yeah,
God! Talk about changing your panties.
Yeah, no, I have finished. I own my car outright, but I still have student loan debt.
I paid off my student loan debt in 10 years.
Nice.
I
fucked around and found out.
The thing is, like my first office job. When I was in college, was for a student loan servicing company, which is hilarious.
Jesus.
But it was at that point I went, oh, I need to pay this off as soon as possible. And then I also had a fuck ton of scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I'm a goddamn genius, you know? But
true.
Yeah. So between those two, I was able to pay off my student loans in 10 years. And to those who are upset that there is student loan forgiveness on the fucking interest, and you're upset for some reason because you paid off your student loans and everybody else should have to, bitch, I did mine in 10 years and fuck that bullshit. All right, student loans. Oh my God, it is such a fucking bullshit thing on our society right now. It is one of the reasons why we can't have a proper middle class anymore. Fuck that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
No, student loans should not have the interest rates that they do. They should be set at a very low standard because we want smart people in our fucking country. And if we want people to be educated and intelligent and make smart decisions, we should fucking let people. Anyway, so I paid off my student loans, and I don't think anybody else should have to at the end.
But dumb people are easily led.
I know.
And, question number, what were we on? 3, 4. Fever or chills?
Oh.
Fever in the morning.
Fever, it's so rare that I
through the night.
Get
I feel
chills.
Like fever is worse.
I know that I'm really, really fucking sick if I get the chills.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fever could be a song, but it could also be...
Well, so good. I got chills. They're multiplying.
Oh, all right. Fair enough.
See, that's where I was going with it. And then you all went that way. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine.
But the, inhaling too much fest dust or having like really bad allergies, something like that, you'll get sinusitis or rhinitis or, you know, that kind of thing. And that, that will give me a fever.
Right.
Like I'll have a mild running temp as a result. But if I can't get warm, there is something very wrong.
Yeah. Sucks when you can't get warm, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, I can't imagine being one of those poor assholes that just feels cold all the time.
God damn.
Jeez. Yeah. So I'll say chills.
I'm in a similar position where if I have proper chills, not being cold, there is a very specific, but the chills that you can feel from the inside out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God. No, nope. Something is fucked.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Denmark.
Right. But I'm a little stuck because I really do love that Fever song. So, so I'll see you figure this out. I'll come back to me. I'll figure out where I'm going with this.
I've already said chills.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think fever's worse. Or fever, I guess. Fever's worse.
I think chills are worse for body stuff. Here we go. Here's my contacts. So,
all right.
You are attracted to a person.
Yes, I am.
You've looked across a room, see at the bar, sitting there, someone that you're like, oh, buddy. Do you feel feverish or do you feel chills and maybe some goosebumps?
Chills and goosebumps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah.
I don't.
Although sometimes I feel a little flush.
Mm-hmm. When something pulls your chain.
This also feels none of this. He looks very confused and doesn't understand what we're talking about.
No, I'm trying to think and I'm just not. I don't think I do either of those.
That's our next t-shirt. I'm trying to think, ellipsis, and I'm just not, period.
I like it. Write it down.
I don't think I feel a temperature change.
Well, it's not really about temperature so much as the body reaction.
Right, but I'm thinking my body reaction isn't really a temperature change. My body react like lightheaded and but warm or cold, I don't think I'm
You don't get that like flush that. Feeling? You don't get that tingly goosebump feeling?
I get a heady feeling, like a drunk feeling sometimes.
Yeah.
I
definitely get that too. Yeah.
Yeah, like when at my wedding, when my wife, was walking down the aisle and I saw her in the dress for the first time, that whole thing, it was just like being drunk. But it wasn't like a temperature. I didn't feel flushed or cold or anything like that. It was just like deliriously happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I know. I felt gross saying it, but it's still the truth.
I'm going to go with fever.
Okay.
2 out of 3, I'm going to go fever.
All right. Question number 5.
5, 5, 5, 5.
Death.
Ooh.
Or hospitalized in a city far away.
Jesus Christ, that one's specific. Yeah. I've been able to ignore for most of this, but yeah, that one's specific.
Wow.
I feel like death is a better band name.
I think this is gonna suck for me to say out loud. There is something about having a loved one hospitalized far, far away, where you feel like you can't do anything about it. Where you feel useless. But it's an ongoing kind of uselessness.
Yeah.
Because it isn't just an event. This is a continuation on a thing. And so day by day, you're just continuously feeling useless and you can't do anything in all of the rest of this. Death is kind of like a combination of that out of control vibe, just smushed together in one moment. So it's definitely much more heightened in that event. But it's not, you're not continually unable to help. That just fucking happened. There's nothing to do about it except work through your own grief and processing.
Sure.
If the question is which one's better, I don't know how to whatever with that. I do sadly have more experience with the giant punch of death than I do long-term hospitalization when you can't get to someone.
I read what you're saying there. Like my grandmother, at the end of her life, like, she had lost a foot to diabetes. She was just in pain all the time. She was miserable. She didn't know who people were half the time. Right. Like, when she finally passed away, I was so happy.
Right? That's such a weird feeling to have.
Exactly. It was just like, there was definitely sadness that she had passed away, but also she's finally not having to deal with all of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, her quality of life was shit at that point.
When my grandma had dementia and was in long term and until her passing, I went up to visit her once. And like at first she didn't know who I was, and then she started telling me about her children. My dad was the last born, and she said she had 4 children, and that was really funny to be internally. But also exceptionally sad. I was like, I don't. And then at one point, she had a very lucid moment. And she said, "Jenna, I don't want you to see me like this." And I was like, all right, this is the last time I'm seeing my grandma, because she does not want, she has very clearly stated her desire.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the last time I saw her. That fucking sucks, because I totally would have gone to see her more, but she told me she didn't want me. It's her fucking life. And I understand exactly why she didn't want me to come back. Yeah, there's no good answer to any of that.
Yeah, no.
Thanks
for leaving this to question five, Stefan. Jesus Christ. Like, where are we going to go from there?
We're going to find out that these are all questions about recent movies.
These better be, because otherwise when we get to five after this, this is gonna just the most depressing ending of a show we've ever done. Context. Question number one, teeth or eyes, which part of your head that's not normally covered by health insurance is worse to get an injury in?
Oh, shit.
I'm going to go eyes.
Fuck. Fuck. Shit. Fuck.
Eyes for me. Easy. This is easy for me. Eyes.
Worse to get an injury in? I don't think I've ever injured my eyes. They're just old. My teeth have always been shitty. So the only real experience I have with this is with my teeth. But I don't like things in my eyes. I don't like the idea of anything touching my eyes. Like, I feel like that would probably be worse. I don't have direct experience to go by. If somebody was to write a horror, content warning, gross. If somebody was to write a horror show or a movie or something, and the two options were to drill somebody's teeth out or drill somebody's eyes out.
Right? All right. Eyes.
Right there. Eyes.
Yep.
That's
you got
the
it.
Thing. That's, yeah, that's it's the winner. Point.
I've had jaw surgery and wisdom tooth surgery and dental procedures and stuff like that. It's all teeth. Like, when it does hurt, it's just a dull, like, pain. But eyes is soft and squishy and sharp and
So, yeah. Probably going to go eyes. Although I do have much better eye insurance than I do dental insurance. So.
I've got pretty good both, thankfully.
Nice.
Question number two, face or hands? Which part of your body is more alarming to get a deep scratch from a cat?
Oh, God.
I think face.
Face. Because it's close to the eyes.
Right. We're going to be stuck on the eyes the entire time, James, aren't you?
Yeah.
My wife has a scar on her face. It's one of her. It looks like a laugh line. Because it's right on the corner of her eye, but it's actually a scar from when a cat dug into the.
That was like when she was a kid, right?
No, this was like when we were married.
Okay.
But she had a cat scratch right next to her eye, and she's got a little scar that looked, like I said, it looks almost like a laugh line on the side of her eye. But
I feel
like I
had a story from that a long time.
Yeah, no, my hands are already covered in scars. Like, you can scratch those up, whatever. But yeah, don't. Fuck up. This is my moneymaker.
Yeah. although I have a story about a cat scratch that ended up in blood poisoning.
Yeah.
Not me, someone else. I got a friend to take care of him. And that was on the hand arm area, like right in that forearm bit. So that specific situation is more terrifying. But other than that, yeah, face. Don't fuck with this. I've spent a lot of time on this, all right? Don't, no.
Yeah, no, cat scratch fever is legit.
Yeah. It is. Yep.
All right. Question number three, brakes or engine? Which part of your car is more expensive to find out it's not working properly? Oh, that's going to be the engine.
Engine.
Well, unless finding out that your brakes don't work totals your car.
That's not, I don't think the question though.
I don't think that's I'm willing to accept James's argument as fact.
No.
The way you find out. Sure. Yes, that would be a worse way to find out and a much more expensive way to find out. Both for damages to the vehicle, but also maybe damages to you. Let's not do that, shall we?
Fair enough.
But I think, yeah, for what I believe the spirit of the question would be, I'm going to go engine.
Yeah, I'll probably go engine. Thing. Yeah. Because they can pop the wheels off and do the brakes, and that's...
Yeah, but they do also nickel and dime you on brakes all the time.
Yeah, they can. Depends on the place you're going to. Yeah,
that too. Very much that.
That there's the pads and like alignment type stuff that's associated with getting the brakes done, and then rotors and like there's an entire system that they can chunk. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, if we're talking specific to, especially my vehicle, it's definitely my engine that's just like, god damn it, stop bleeding money out of me.
Indeed. All right, question number four, fever or chills. Which symptom is more troublesome to have over the weekend?
There we go. Chills.
I think chills. Yeah.
Yep.
That was actually one of the scarier things for me out at Fest this weekend. Was during the day, I was very concerned on Sunday because I started getting chills. And I was like, yeah, this is, that's bad.
This is a big fucking red flag.
Yeah. No. Like I was already hydrating. I was already like really seriously hydrating. I was already taking breaks. And I think it's, you know, gingerness in the sun. It was just too intense.
Yeah.
The heat and the UV were too intense for me. But I was actively taking a break at the time, and I was sweating still, which is good. That definitely spooked me. I took a much longer time to sit out than I usually would.
Ever meet James, I don't know if you were around at this point, but
I've never met James.
Did you ever meet the guy that used to dress as the trash can out at Fest?
No.
Okay. A friend of ours used to, you know, they've got the trash.
The Pixies.
It's a square frame.
Yeah, the metal frame.
That they hang the bag in.
The Pixies.
He would dress entirely in trash bags. Mm-hmm. And he had a hat that was like a paper plate with trash on it.
Gotcha.
And so he would sit down in the lanes and tuck his legs in and everything like that. And he looked like a fucking trash can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he would suddenly pop out of that. And like, it was a good.
If I remember right, the character name was Grosker the Ouch.
Yes, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty funny.
But sitting backstage talking to him about
while he was in a fucking frame too, by the way.
But he was inside of a plastic trash bag all day,
right?
And so he knew like exactly how far he could take it to the. He was like, at this point, I start to sweat. At this point, this happens. At this point, this happens. Mm-hmm. At this point, I stop sweating. At this point, like he knew exactly how far he could go before he had to just be done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's also a vet, though.
Yeah. So, like,
he had done a lot of body awareness training in heat and extensive situations ahead of time. So,
yeah. So he had military training in that sort of stuff. So it was, but. Yeah, no, it's crazy what the body can do. But
there was one. I've only gone down once, proper. I have gone to first aid and said, "I need to sit in your air conditioning." Shut up, James. Before I have effects.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Okay, cool." But no, the only time, so there used to be back in the Inner 600 where there's stuff there now, there was a trailer that was Joanne's trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It was Joanne was the groundskeeper, caretaker person.
Yep.
And she had air conditioning there, and she would often have people. And this was one of the few times that it got over 100 degrees before global climate change got to be as prevalent as it is now. Like, and I want to say this was like 98, 99.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in and I'm like, I'm having an issue. And then I just kind of fall down inside the trailer.
Yeah.
So at least I made it easy for everyone. And I wake up on the couch or regain consciousness, and it's only like 30 seconds later.
Mm-hmm.
I come to on this couch, and Joanne is like, here's water. Here's what we're doing. We're taking care of this, blah, 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 blah. And then 2 minutes later, when I'm like much more aware and coming back online, she's like, you know better. Don't do that again. You come here sooner. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. Because Joanne, much like me, and honestly is kind of one of the female people in my life, my role models.
You're formative.
Very tiny, very fierce. She may have been shorter than me, actually, but roughly my height.
Yeah.
If about, not shorter.
About the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And tiny frame and all of the rest of that. And you did not fuck with her.
Nope. Just fucking right? Wildcat.
Yes. God. Goddamn hero. But yeah, I miss her too. But yeah, that is the only time that I have gone down. And she did actually make me go through a list of how my body reacted during certain points of the day. And she was like, when you started getting chills, that's when you should have been here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You should have already been here.
Yep.
Don't let it get to that point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, ma'am. Because you didn't say anything else than that to her. Otherwise, she would yell at you some more.
Yep.
God, she was wonderful. Ah, fucking role model for the ages.
Yeah. Anyway. Question number five. Death or hospitalized in a city far away? Which is harder to deal with when it happens to your parent?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the right person for this question.
If
you're going to end it with your parent,
yeah,
I'm not the right person for this question.
No, you are. I know, and here's why. Here's why. If they're just hospitalized, nobody fucking calls you for weeks about their house.
Oh. Fuck, that was some goddamn bullshit. Also. For any friends that might get calls about buying their mother's house, please talk to me. I have all of the advice. Mm. No, I think my situation is unique.
Yeah, definitely.
For me, the death affected me more because now I had homework.
Yeah.
But my mom had been hospitalized for a very long time. I was no contact with her for over 7 years. I didn't know. My family kept telling me things about her, and I'd be like, don't. And so I hadn't heard anything about her for 5 years. And then, like, shortly before her passing, like, my uncle was like, oh, do you want to maybe say some things to her? And I'm like, nope, I'm good. I did contemplate it. I was like, do I want to say anything to her? And I was like, no. I've been going to therapy for the past several years and dealt with everything I needed to. I don't need to reopen that.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. But yeah, like, honestly, the death did affect me more, but I don't think that's the spirit of this question.
Yeah, no, certainly.
And
yeah.
I personally cannot speak to the spirit of this question.
No, definitely. I think that I'm going to say death on this one because I honestly, I don't, in some ways, I don't understand the hospitalized in a city far away. It's like, that feels to me no different than hospitalized next door. I can't do shit either way.
Yeah.
So
I think it's more of a visiting and being able to take care of things thing. Like I can't
take care of things either way. Like they're in a hospital.
I think
the hospital will take care of them.
Daily taking care of. You can't bring lunch to somebody in a different state. You can't do all of
easier,
those tiny things. Mm. You can't have short visits. You can't whatever else. Like it's by take care of, I mean all of those tiny connective bits.
Yeah.
That I think, like if, I guess the whole grandma situation, like if she had been closer, you know, I may have seen her sooner or more often or whatever.
Sure.
And I may have been able to better, you know, process the buildup of where she had ended up to. But yeah. Again, at the moment that she told me, I don't want you to see me like this, I'm like, well, you're the person that's dying. I'm going to respect that, even if I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I just might be missing something. I probably just haven't gone through it, so I don't know. But I feel just like if they were in a hospital, then they're in, like... I can't.
You're thinking of care
fuck all.
As medical care as opposed to interpersonal care,
right? Well, that's what they're in a hospital for.
Interpersonal care is a thing that you can do when somebody is in a hospital. The doctors are dealing with the medical care,
right?
You get to do the interpersonal care, but you can't do that interpersonal care if somebody's in a different state.
Yeah, my feeling is that it is almost easier if that person is very far away. For example, like if an aunt or an uncle is in the hospital in a city that's neighboring your city, something like that, you know, they're within 20, 30 minutes. And especially if the diagnosis is dour,
I mean, I'm assuming long-term care into
then, that. Right?
Yeah.
Then the one that you do so much of your grieving at that during that process, but also it is what a lot of friends have said about parents that have passed, that kind of thing, is that like they were kind of gone. It has already been, but then there's also a societal expectation of visiting and a personal expectation of visiting and bringing cheerful items or spending time or things like that. I had a friend who was dying due to cancer about a half an hour north of St. Cloud, and I only made it out there to visit him once after the diagnosis. I talked to him on the phone and that kind of stuff, but I only got to really go and see him in person one time. And I know that there are friends who saw him very regularly who have some potentially sour feelings about me not going up there to visit him more. At that time, I was also living an hour and a half away, which is, but if somebody is super far away, you still have that same like grief or worry, but I think that it is easier to say, I don't need to be there every week. I don't need to be there for 5 days. I can't be, you know, I can't get to,
you know, here's the Budapest. thing, here's, Okay. I don't want to trounce on your story at all. But the one thing that we do have now that we did not have earlier, fucking FaceTime, Zoom, all of the other ways that we connected during COVID. So the distance of the person, if your goal is to have a conversation, that's not really a factor. It's not the same.
Right.
But it is still, you know, connective. I think that, honestly, maybe I am the person to talk to this. It depends on your relationship. And that's going to depend on your parents. It's going to depend on a number of factors. But I think this one comes down to each relationship is unique.
Yeah, I think that might be.
I did have a parental person that wasn't one of my parents that passed several years back, and I didn't visit him while he was in long term. That kind of wasn't the nature of our relationship.
Very fair.
You know? So I and maybe this is me applying some of my grandma stuff onto him, but I got the feeling that he did not want me there to see him in the state that he was in. And yeah, I think that each relationship is different, and so each relationship is going to have a different answer to this. Up until you get to the point of death, which just sucks. I got nothing for you, man. I've been through this a few times, and it just fucking sucks.
I feel like the societal norm is like, you know, oh, my parents in the hospital, I must go to them, and I just kind of sit there going, but what would you do there?
You have a different relationship.
I have a great relationship. And I love my parents.
I didn't say it was bad.
You know,
I didn't say it was bad. Like, I said it was different. The way you and your parents interact is different.
Yeah.
Than the way other people, and I don't mean like society as whole. I mean like some people have similar to you. Some people have different to you. But yours is different than those that are asking the question, should I show up all the time, or the ones that feel the impetus to do that. It's not a right or wrong. I don't think there's a right or wrong in this situation, unless it is something that goes against the grain of your specific individual relationship with the person involved.
I suppose. All right. Well, thanks, Stefan, for doing that to us. Closing thoughts. This isn't two truths and a lie. The first option of all five questions is something that happened to one of the three of us this month. The bills are going to be expensive. I'm so sorry about that, Stefan. That sounds
jeez.
I'm
okay. Here are the things that you need to know, Stefan. I'm going pure. I dealt with this a couple of years ago as far as passing and medical debt. The medical debt, is not yours. The medical debt belongs to the estate of the parent that has passed. Now, that is an important legal distinction, because the estate going from one person that has passed to another, that's the part that will get tricky and that you may need to owe on. Whether it's, and I hate to say, like dad, might have to take that on. Right. But it is still a part of the estate itself. I don't know where you're at in the process, if somebody else is declaring probate, if you're declaring it, if there is a very actually well thought out plan for this person's passing. Like, I can't speak to that because I don't know about that. But that is where the medical debt goes. If anything was charged to a credit card that was only in the name of the deceased person, you don't owe them shit. You do not owe on credit that only belong to the individual that passed.
Mm-hmm.
They will call you. They will hound you. They will say, oh, you need to pay this off. You do not. Knowing the differences between what kind of debt is owed or claimed mm-hmm. to be owed is really big. And I'm sure you've already got all the plans and everything else in a play. But just remember, do not pay any bills, credit card, anything else under that is only tied to the person that has passed.
Hmm.
If it is a shared account, that is different. If it is because now the other person is responsible, and that sucks. And I'm guessing that's an awful lot of what is going on here. But definitely make sure to shave down those things that you do not owe on. Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not crying. You're crying. Shut up.
All right. Thank you so much to Stefan for sending in that Fast Five. We're going to see what we can pick up the pieces here. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. Your questions can be pretty much on everything,
right?
Which we have just shown. So don't think that
clowns.
Yeah, they clearly don't need to be all jokey jokes. You know,
no, they
can be. Sometimes you just need to process clearly, and that's okay. Go do that. Go to the website, fill out the form, and we'll take care of the rest. Does anybody have a shout out?
Oh my god, I have a million shout outs. We just wrapped on a festival season. I don't know what to do. I'm going to give a bunch of shout outs to, the fencing booth first and foremost.
Yeah.
I guess also including James. fencing booth has been my home for 4 years now. This is my fourth season with the fencing booth. Fourth rookie season. Yep. It is, I continue to enjoy the energy there and what we do there, raising money for children's charity, but also raising the confidence in children, giving people permission to do something that scares them, giving drunk assholes an opportunity to prove how stupid they can just fucking be. But doing so in an environment that seems dangerous, but we keep secure, that we make sure that this is not going to be an issue. That kind of hosting of that environment is just so lovely to, and I appreciate every volunteer. Whether it was a half a day or the entire season, I appreciate the active management staff of the fencing booth for making everything go. And honestly, I appreciate that I'm in a place where I don't have to do any leadership things. Like, they just tell me to do a thing and then I get to go do it. It's almost like a little mini vacation for me, and I love it. I don't have to make decisions. I can just do what's told. Yes. The fencing booth is I would say a part of the heart of the Renaissance Festival. And I don't say shit like that lightly. So take that, you're crying, not me. but also a larger shout out to everyone that participates in the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
Entertainers, crafters, gamers, independents, CKC, special events, safety services. Fucking, there are so many people that come together to make that be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the environment, the economy of all of that, people having conversations in different departments and engaging with each other in different ways is beautiful. And we... we all provide a service to an environment that creates magic, and it is so wonderful. And so then the last on my list is going to be the patrons. The guests that come out, whether they are in white tennis shoes or full garb. full garb and almost annoyingly background character. But every single individual that walks into that gates is contributing to that environment. We would not exist without people coming to experience the magic and contribute to it in its own way. And I, every day, I am thankful that people keep showing up to this fucking gravel pit in the middle of nowhere. Oh, and a bonus shout out to the Dragon's Den, which is my oldie home, and I appreciate them too. The end.
All right, James.
Nice.
top that, motherfucker.
So at the fencing booth, people bring in food. They bring in like water mix in stuff, snack stuff, breakfast. We take care of each other, and it has always meant a lot to me, but this year, even a little more so, it was just really important to making sure that everyone had what they needed, whether it was sunscreen or liquid IV or just a bag of almonds or something. But then people also brought in like delicious bacon scones and stuff, and just having that community that we take care of each other in the ways that we can. And it is wonderful. It is beautiful. Yeah. So thanks to the people who brought stuff in, in addition to volunteering and all of that other stuff.
I'm going to give my shout out to everybody who I shared a stage with this year. It is, with that many people being in one place, in close proximity all the time, it is inevitable that things can sometimes get rough. And that has been experience in the past, where sometimes personalities have rubbed against each other and people get upset with each other. And this year we had none of that. We had Fondazi and me and Aluma and the Shakespeare Guild all on that stage, and never once was there friction. We all got along great. We all loved each other and got along and were friends and laughed and joked, and we didn't have any of that drama. And what a relief to not have to deal with any of that. You know, drama happens with, you know, patrons and other festies and stuff like that. And to be able to go back to our home and have it be a peaceful, safe refuge is just the best. So that's my shout out. All of those people I mentioned.
Nice.
So. Yeah. Does anybody have anything to plug?
It's my birthday on Saturday.
Woo!
Woo!
I haven't died yet, so, you know, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 45. That's one of those, right? Exactly. That happens in my brain every time. That's a weird age, y'all, because you're not old, but you're definitely not young. Like, that's looking at 50 going like, ah, fuck, I'll see you.
It's kind of like being 22, where you've been able to drink for a while, but you can't rent a car on your own yet.
That,
in the same way.
Actually, it is kind of the same feeling. Like, I'm not, On the plus side, I think there are some places at 45 that will count you towards senior status.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Not a lot. There's not a lot, but there are a few.
Can't get a discount on my moons over my hammy yet. Yeah.
Right? Like, I could get a discount at Claire's, but I couldn't get a discount at a place that I'm actually going to use right now.
Right.
Like, it's so fucking useless to turn 45. Mm. But I'm doing it, so I'm just going to plug that.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go to Monster Science on Thursday. That's mostly the plan. I make no promises. Life has been weird lately. But I'm planning to go to the Thursday Monster Science at Bright Light Bowl at 7 p.m. So if you did want to see me for birthday shenanigans, my current plan is to be at the Bright Light Bowl for most of that evening. So join me there.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
James, anything?
In October, I think it's the 12th, which I believe is a Saturday, we will be doing another murder mystery tour along the Mississippi. I don't think we have a ton of tickets left, but there may be some. And so a very good idea to check in. We try to do, 3 tours every night, I believe. Or no, we do 6 tours every night because we have 3 groups doing 2 each. So, you know, we've done everything we can in order to help prevent people from wanting tickets and not being able to get them. But those groups do fill up. So if you would like to see the show on the 12th, please do go and get your tickets. The link will be in the show notes.
I am, well, Casimir is going to be at the Gathering of Rogues and Ruffians in Baraboo, Wisconsin, in 2 weekends. I actually get a weekend off this year, which is fantastic. Ooh. I know, right? You take it when you can get them. But the 12th and 13th, I will be in Baraboo, Wisconsin for Rogues and Ruffians at Sight of Circus World. It's a fantastic festival. It's a fantastic location. You should go.
I have a murder mystery.
Well, fuck you then. And then on Saturday, September 19th, I will be at the Waconia County Historical Society doing a snake oil show. Really, really fucking looking forward to that. So, yes. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye bye. I love you. Bye bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Legitimately, thank you. Thank you to Stefan for sending in the Fast Five.
Hey, Stefan.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.